A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hey, Herman and Corin. If you listen very carefully, you might be able to hear behind me the sound of the cacophony of honking that happens during certain times of the day. Where we live in Jerusalem, the place we're here just for a couple more months. And this is what actually got me interested in the whole issue of urban noise pollution. I had, as I mentioned in some previous episodes, I lived next to building sites for quite a while and made my own adaptations with, you know, white noise machines and earplugs. But there's something about hearing loud honking inside your bedroom that just feels like it feels different. It feels really like your kind of your private space has been violated in some way. Because when I moved into this place, I thought this is going to drive me literally insane. I got custom earplugs, which I recommended many times and do so again. And I also got in touch with, I made a YouTube video about it that in turn, someone from the local environmental lobby discovered, Green Jerusalem, got in touch with me and invited me to be part of a noise, anti-noise lobby style situation. I haven't had as much time as I would like to actually keep in touch with the organization, but it's definitely on my to-do list that when I have a bit more spare time, I'd love to get more involved in lobbying and all of this. One of the things that we did do, however, was visit the local municipality. We had a meeting with the person in the Jerusalem municipality responsible for the environmental portfolio, and we talked about the challenges. This issue has finally started garnering attention in Israel because it's one of those things that it's so widespread, and I guess if you're lucky enough to live away from a main street, probably is just an occasional nuisance. And if you do live, but if you do live next to a busy traffic intersection where everyone is just using their horns to vent their aggression for, like, you know, some people will literally hold down the horn for 20 seconds. And what they don't see is there's a little child trying to sleep. And I've heard people do this at 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning. It's crazy. Unfortunately, in Jerusalem, we have lackluster political effort to tackle this. But Petach Tikva in a city near Tel Aviv has been far more active in actually running a pilot for this. And if I'm not mistaken, they're beginning to actually hand out their first fines. That required approval, because if you think about the burden of proof required for a local authority or for police to find somebody, they have to get these acoustic cameras. They have to be able to prove without any doubt that it came from this license plate. So it's a combination of license plate recognition, audio source recognition. And what I'd love to talk about today, to be a bit more informed about this issue in the context of my own lobbying or co-lobbying, is to understand what the technological challenges are, how this actually works, right? If we have, take the intersection that we're currently living next to, you'll frequently have these horn pileups, by which I mean, you know, the first person starts honking for no good reason, and there's almost never a good reason. And they're frustrated. The person behind them starts honking. 6 or 7 motorists. Now, the question becomes, even with acoustic pinpointing cameras, can you identify separately that the sound emanated from these 8 cars and not others? And if it's a more easy to prove case, if there was one nuisance honker, how easy and reliable is it for these systems? I know that's a generalism. There's different systems on the market, different urban authorities have tried this around the world, but I'd love to understand what the technology is like for policing noise pollution, especially honking in city environments.
Daniel sent us this one from right here in Jerusalem. He's been living next to a busy intersection, dealing with the kind of honking that makes you question whether civilization is actually a thing we achieved, or just a nice idea we had once. He got custom earplugs, made a YouTube video, got looped into a local anti-noise group, and even sat down with someone at the municipality. But what he really wants to know is the tech side. If a city deploys acoustic cameras to catch honkers, how does that actually work? Can you pinpoint one horn in a pileup of 6 or 7 cars all laying on it at once? And how reliable are these systems in the real world, not just in the brochure?
This is genuinely one of those problems where the physics is elegant and the implementation is where everything gets sticky. And the timing is interesting too, because Patash Tikva, you mentioned Daniel's reference to that, they've been running what's essentially Israel's first real acoustic enforcement pilot, and from what I've read, they started issuing fines just in the last few months. Which makes this not theoretical anymore. There are actual drivers getting actual tickets based on machine listening evidence.
Which raises the question of whether the evidence holds up. Because a speeding camera gives you a photo with a timestamp and a radar reading, an acoustic camera is trying to prove that a specific transient event in a chaotic sound field came from a specific vehicle. That feels like a harder problem.
It is a harder problem. And to answer the core question about the pileup scenario, can you separate 8 horns at once? The short answer is yes, with caveats. The long answer is where this gets fun. So let me walk through the tech stack, because it's actually multiple layers of signal processing working together, and each one solves a different part of the attribution problem.
Walk me through it. Start with the hardware. What is an acoustic camera actually made of?
An acoustic camera is essentially an array of microphones, and I mean an array, not just 2 or 3. The systems being deployed for traffic enforcement typically use anywhere from 30 to 64 microphones arranged in a specific geometric pattern, usually a spiral or a grid or sometimes a cross-shaped array. The key is that the microphones are spaced at known, precise distances from each other. That spacing is what makes everything else possible.
It's not just a really sensitive microphone, it's a distributed sensor field.
And the reason that matters is beamforming. This is the core technique. When a sound wave hits the array, it reaches each microphone at a slightly different time. If the horn is to the left of the camera, the leftmost microphones pick it up a fraction of a millisecond before the rightmost ones. If you know the geometry of your array and the speed of sound, you can reverse engineer the direction the sound came from by analyzing those arrival time differences.
It's essentially triangulation, but with dozens of points instead of 3.
Right, and triangulation implies you're doing it geometrically with angles. Beamforming is more like you're computationally steering the array sensitivity. You take the signals from all the microphones, apply tiny time delays to each one, and sum them together. When you guess the right direction, the signals line up constructively and you get a strong output. When you guess wrong, they cancel out. You can sweep through every possible direction and build what's essentially a heat map of sound sources.
That's how you get those images you see, where there's a color overlay on a photo showing where the sound is coming from.
That's exactly the visualization layer. The camera takes a picture of the scene, and then the acoustic data is overlaid as a color-coded intensity map. Bright red hotspot right on someone's horn. And that's admissible as evidence, by the way. These systems are designed to produce a visual record that a non-technical person, like a judge, can look at and understand. Here's the vehicle, here's the sound source, they coincide.
Which sounds convincing in the single horn scenario. But Daniel's pileup question is the interesting one. You've got 8 cars in a row, all honking simultaneously. The sound fields overlap. Does the beamforming resolution hold up?
This is where the spec sheets get honest and the real world gets messy. The angular resolution of an acoustic camera depends on the frequency of the sound and the size of the array. Higher frequencies give you better resolution. A car horn is actually pretty good for this. Most horns are in the range of about 300 to 500 Hz for the fundamental tone, but they have strong harmonics up into the 2 to 4 kHz range. Those higher frequencies are what the beam forming can really lock onto.
The horn's obnoxiousness is what makes it catchable.
In a weird way, yes. A low, muffled rumble would be harder to pinpoint than a sharp, brassy honk. But even with good frequency content, if 2 horns are very close together, say 2 cars bumper to bumper in the same lane, and they're both honking at the same time, the beamforming output is going to show a merged hotspot. You might not be able to separate them purely on direction.
The acoustic camera alone can't always resolve a pileup. What else is in the stack?
This is where the license plate recognition comes in, and it's not just an add-on. It's integral to making the system work in ambiguous cases. Most of these enforcement systems pair the acoustic array with one or more high-speed cameras that capture the scene continuously. When a honk event is detected, the system timestamps it and grabs the video frames. Then you've got multiple angles of evidence. If the beamforming shows a sound source in the left lane, and the camera shows only one car in the left lane with its driver's hand visibly on the horn, that's corroborating evidence.
In the pileup case?
In the pileup case, the system may flag multiple vehicles, but only issue citations where the evidence meets the threshold. Some systems use additional signal processing tricks. One is time frequency analysis. Even though all the horns are honking, they're not perfectly synchronized. They start at slightly different moments, they have slightly different pitch characteristics, different durations. If one driver lays on the horn for a continuous 20 seconds and another does a series of short, aggressive bursts, you can separate those signatures.
You're fingerprinting individual horn events, not just locating them.
And the more sophisticated systems, and this is where it gets interesting from a machine learning perspective, use classification models trained on thousands of horn samples. They can distinguish between a car horn, a truck horn, a motorcycle horn, and other impulsive sounds like a backfire or a slammed door. The model outputs a confidence score. Below a certain threshold, no citation is issued.
Which is probably why Pitash Tikva's rollout has been gradual. You don't want your first batch of fines getting thrown out in court because the tech wasn't ready.
Right, and this is actually a pattern we've seen globally. The first city to really pioneer this at scale was actually Paris. They started testing acoustic cameras. They call them Metises, or jellyfish, because of the way the microphone array looks, back around 2022. The initial deployments were on a few streets known for motorcycle and scooter noise. They issued warnings first, then fines. And the fines were substantial. I think around 135 euros for a noise violation.
Paris doing something aggressive about noise pollution feels almost paradoxical given the city's reputation, but good for them.
New York City has been running a pilot too, though theirs has been slower to move from testing to enforcement. There's a company called SoundView that's been working with a few cities. Their system uses a 32-microphone array and claims to be able to pinpoint sound sources within a few centimeters at typical traffic distances. The key spec they advertise is that they can separate sources that are at least 1.5 meters apart.
If two cars are closer than 1.5 meters, which in dense traffic they absolutely are, you're back to the merged hotspot problem.
You are, which is why the camera evidence and the temporal separation become critical. But here's the thing about Daniel's specific scenario that actually makes it more tractable than it sounds. In a honking pileup at an intersection, the cars are typically in different lanes or at different positions. They're not all stacked in exactly the same line of sight. Even a small angular separation, a few degrees, is enough for a well-designed array to resolve if the frequency content is high enough.
The physical geometry of an intersection actually helps the enforcement tech.
The worst-case scenario is a single-lane queue where cars are lined up directly behind each other. Then the angular separation from the camera's perspective is near zero, and you're relying entirely on timing and signature analysis.
Let me ask the reliability question directly. If I'm a municipal official and someone says, buy our acoustic enforcement system, what's the false positive rate? How often does it tag the wrong car?
The honest answer is that independent validation data is still thin. Most of what we have comes from the manufacturer's own testing and from the pilot programs that have published results. Paris reported that in their initial testing phase, the system correctly identified the offending vehicle in something like 90%+ of cases where a single vehicle was involved, but those are controlled or semi-controlled conditions. Real-world false positive rates in dense chaotic traffic? Much harder to pin down.
A false positive here isn't like a spam filter getting it wrong. It's a fine sent to someone's house with legal weight behind it.
Which is why the evidentiary bar matters so much. In most jurisdictions deploying these, the acoustic camera data isn't treated as a fully automated enforcement mechanism the way a red light camera is. There's typically a human review step. An enforcement officer looks at the acoustic heat map, the video footage, the license plate data, and makes a determination. The system flags, a human confirms. That's the model Pitash Tikva seems to be following, and it's the model most European cities have adopted.
That human review layer probably adds cost, but it's also what keeps the whole thing from collapsing the first time someone challenges a ticket in court.
And there's an interesting legal dimension here that's still evolving. In some jurisdictions, the admissibility of automated acoustic evidence hasn't been fully tested yet. A speeding camera measures something objective. Speed is a physical quantity with a well-established measurement chain. A noise violation has a subjective component. Was the honk unnecessary? That's a judgment call. The acoustic camera can prove a honk occurred and came from a specific vehicle, but the legal determination of whether it was a violation may still require context.
That feels like the weakest link in the whole enforcement chain. The technology can tell you who honked, when, for how long, and from where. It can't tell you whether the honk was justified. And traffic laws in most places do allow horn use for safety reasons.
Right. And this is where the policy design matters as much as the technology. Most of the noise enforcement programs carve out an exception for legitimate safety use. The problem is, how do you verify that after the fact? The camera sees the vehicle, it might see the traffic conditions. If the car had just slammed on its brakes and someone honks to avoid a collision, that's arguably legitimate. If someone honks because the light turned green 0.3 seconds ago and the car ahead hasn't moved, that's not.
The impatience honk is basically the entire problem Daniel's describing. And it's culturally specific, too. In Jerusalem, honking is practically a form of punctuation.
That cultural dimension actually matters for enforcement design. In cities where honking is endemic, you can't just flip a switch and start fining everyone. You'd overwhelm the system and probably trigger a backlash. What Patash Tikva seems to be doing, and this is smart, is starting with the most egregious cases. The 20-second sustained horn blast at 4 in the morning. The person who uses their horn as a doorbell for an entire apartment building. Start with the cases where there's no ambiguity about whether it's a violation.
That's the enforcement equivalent of shoot the alligators closest to the boat. Deal with the worst offenders first. Establish the precedent, then expand.
It creates a deterrence effect that's disproportionate to the number of fines actually issued. If word gets around that there are acoustic cameras operating in a particular area and that people are actually getting ticketed, behavior starts to shift. We've seen this with red light cameras. The effect on driver behavior extends well beyond the specific intersections where cameras are installed.
Though red light cameras have their own controversies, some studies have shown they reduce right-angle crashes but increase rear-end collisions because people slam on their brakes to avoid a ticket.
That's a fair point, and there's a possible analog here. If drivers become hyper-aware that honking might get them fined, does that create a safety issue in situations where honking is actually appropriate? Someone hesitates to use their horn to alert a pedestrian who's about to step into traffic because they're worried about a fine.
That's a knock-on effect worth watching. But I suspect the current baseline in places like Jerusalem is so far toward over-honking that even a significant correction would still leave plenty of safety margin.
I think that's right. Let me circle back to the technology itself, because there's a piece I want to make sure we cover. The audio source recognition, the part that confirms the sound, actually is a horn and not something else. This is where modern systems are using deep learning in a way that's impressive.
How deep are we talking?
Convolutional neural networks trained on spectrograms. A spectrogram is basically a visual representation of sound. Time on the x-axis, frequency on the y-axis, intensity shown as color. A car horn has a very distinctive spectrographic signature. It's got that sharp onset, the harmonic structure I mentioned, and a characteristic decay pattern. The neural network learns to recognize that pattern against the background of other urban sounds, engines, sirens, construction noise, music from open windows, whatever.
The system is simultaneously locating the sound source and classifying it.
Yes, and those two tasks reinforce each other. If the beamforming says the sound came from a specific location, and the classifier says that sound is a car horn with 98% confidence, and the camera shows a car at that location, you've got a very strong evidence chain.
What about false negatives? Situations where a honk happens, but the system misses it.
That's actually the easier direction to tolerate from an enforcement perspective. Missing some violations doesn't undermine the system's legitimacy the way falsely accusing someone does. But there are scenarios where false negatives become a fairness issue. If the system is better at detecting horns from certain vehicle types, say a truck horn is easier to classify than a small car horn, then you're effectively enforcing selectively against certain drivers.
Or if the microphone array's sensitivity pattern means it catches horns from the near lane, but misses them from the far lane.
And these are the kinds of questions that should be asked during procurement and testing. A well-designed system will have been validated across vehicle types, distances, and traffic conditions. But municipal procurement processes aren't always great at asking those technical questions. You get a sales pitch, a demo, and a spec sheet.
If Daniel's going to be an effective advocate with the Jerusalem municipality, part of what he needs is a list of the right questions to ask vendors.
That's actually a really useful way to frame this. If I were advising someone in his position, here's what I'd want to know from any acoustic camera vendor. 1. What's your angular resolution at the fundamental frequency of a typical car horn? Not just the best case spec, but the performance at 300 to 500 Hz. 2. What's your validated false positive rate in traffic conditions comparable to our city's intersections? And has that validation been done by an independent third party or just internally?
3. How does the system handle multi-source scenarios? What's the minimum angular separation for reliable source discrimination?
4. What's the human review workflow? How many events per day does the system flag, and what's the expected officer time per review? Because if it flags 500 events a day and each one takes 3 minutes to review, you've just created a full-time job.
Which the vendor probably doesn't mention in the sales pitch.
They rarely do. 5. What's the environmental robustness? How does performance degrade in rain, wind, extreme heat? Microphone arrays are sensitive to wind noise. A gust across the array can create correlated noise that messes with beamforming. Good systems have wind screens and signal processing to compensate, but it's not perfect.
6. What about maintenance? Microphones exposed to the elements on a pole next to a busy road. They're going to get dirty. They're going to degrade. What's the calibration protocol?
7. This is the one I think gets overlooked most often. What does the data retention and privacy framework look like? These systems are recording audio and video continuously in public spaces. That's a surveillance infrastructure, not just an enforcement tool. Who has access to the recordings? How long are they kept? Are they shared with law enforcement for purposes beyond noise enforcement?
That's a big one, especially in a place like Jerusalem where security cameras are already ubiquitous. Adding always-on audio recording to the mix raises the stakes.
There's actually an interesting precedent from the European deployment. The Paris system was deliberately designed so that the audio recordings are processed in real time and not stored long term. Only the specific evidentiary clips, the few seconds around a detected violation, are retained. The rest is discarded. That was a privacy-conscious design choice that also reduces data storage costs.
Which makes it easier to sell to a privacy-sensitive public. We're not recording everything. We're only keeping the violations.
Right, though the system does have to listen to everything in order to detect the violations. There's a philosophical question there about whether real-time analysis with immediate deletion is meaningfully different from recording, but legally and practically it seems to be treated differently.
Let me ask you about something Daniel mentioned in passing. He talked about the burden of proof, the need to prove without any doubt that the sound came from a specific license plate. Is without any doubt actually the standard here? Because that sounds like a criminal standard, and traffic violations are usually civil or administrative.
You're right to flag that. In most jurisdictions, traffic citations are adjudicated on a preponderance of evidence or something close to it. More likely than not, not beyond reasonable doubt. But the practical reality is that if a city is going to invest in this infrastructure and start issuing fines, they want the evidence to be strong enough that challenges are rare. Every challenge ticket that gets thrown out undermines the program.
The vendors have an incentive to overstate the certainty. Our system proves it, versus our system indicates it with high probability.
Which is why the human review step is so important, not just as a legal safeguard, but as a practical filter. A trained reviewer can look at a flagged event and say the acoustic data is ambiguous here, the camera angle isn't clear, we're not issuing this one. That discretion is what keeps the system credible.
You mentioned SoundView earlier. Are there other major players in this space?
There's a French company called Bruit Parif that's been deeply involved in the Paris deployments. They're actually a non-profit noise observatory that developed their own acoustic measurement technology. There's a UK-based company called Intelligent Instruments that makes something called the SoundCam, and there are German and Dutch firms in the space as well. The market is still fairly fragmented, which means standards aren't fully settled yet.
Which makes it harder for a city like Jerusalem to make an informed procurement decision. You're not buying a commodity product with established benchmarks.
And this connects to something Daniel mentioned about the lobbying effort. One of the most valuable things an informed citizen advocate can do is push for a transparent pilot process. Don't just buy a system and deploy it citywide. Run a control pilot, publish the results, let independent researchers evaluate the data. Pitach Tikva seems to be doing something like this, which is why their rollout is worth watching.
If the pilot shows the technology works reliably in Israeli traffic conditions, which, let's be honest, are their own special category of chaos, then Jerusalem has a much stronger basis for adoption.
Israeli traffic as a stress test for acoustic enforcement technology. There's probably a startup pitch in there somewhere.
There's always a startup pitch in there somewhere. That's basically the national business model.
Let me talk about one more technical dimension that I think is underappreciated, the calibration problem. An acoustic camera array needs to know exactly where each microphone is in space relative to the others. If a microphone gets bumped, if the mounting pole shifts slightly, if thermal expansion changes the geometry, all of that introduces errors in the beamforming calculation.
How sensitive are we talking? Are we measuring micrometer shifts?
It depends on the frequencies you're working with. For the high-frequency harmonics that give you good angular resolution, say 4 kHz, the wavelength is about 8.5 centimeters. To get accurate beamforming, you need your microphone positions to be known to within a fraction of that wavelength. So we're talking millimeter-level precision. Not impossible, but it means the hardware needs to be rigid, well-mounted, and periodically recalibrated.
Which again points back to maintenance costs that the initial purchase price doesn't capture.
In a city like Jerusalem, you've got additional environmental factors. Dust, intense sun, temperature swings between day and night. All of that stresses the hardware. If you don't have a maintenance contract and a calibration schedule, the system's accuracy degrades and you might not even know it.
Until the tickets start getting challenged and suddenly your evidence isn't holding up.
By then, the program has lost credibility. That's the nightmare scenario for a municipal noise enforcement initiative. You issue a bunch of fines, a few people challenge them, the evidence gets scrutinized, flaws emerge, and the whole thing gets shut down. Now you've spent the money and you're back to square one, plus you've created a precedent that makes it harder to try again.
The technology works, but the implementation has to be almost flawless for it to stick.
I'd say the technology works well enough to be useful, but the implementation has to be careful, transparent, and legally sound. That's not the same as flawless. You can tolerate some edge case failures as long as the core cases are solid and the process is fair.
Let me bring this back to Daniel's specific situation. He's living next to an intersection where these honking pileups happen regularly. He's got a connection to the municipality through the environmental portfolio person. He's trying to figure out whether to push for acoustic camera enforcement. Based on everything you've laid out, what's your assessment? Is this technology ready for a Jerusalem intersection?
I think it's ready for a well-designed pilot at a carefully selected intersection. And Daniel's intersection might actually be a good candidate precisely because the honking pattern is so predictable. If you know the problem happens at certain times of day, you can focus the monitoring on those windows. You can gather baseline data before enforcement begins. You can measure the before and after effect.
The pileup scenario. Which is the hardest case? You'd want to be upfront that the system might flag the group, but only cite the ones where individual attribution is clear.
And I'd even argue that in a honking pileup, citing even one or two of the participants has a deterrence effect on the whole behavior pattern. If drivers know that joining a honking chorus might get them a ticket, they're less likely to participate. You don't need to catch everyone to change the norm.
That's the broken windows theory applied to noise.
In a sense, yes. Though broken windows policing has its own complicated legacy, the idea that enforcing small order norms can shift broader behavior patterns is well established. The question is always about equitable enforcement.
You don't want a system that only catches the honks in certain neighborhoods and ignores others.
That's a deployment question, not a technology question. It's about where you put the cameras and how you prioritize enforcement. Worth flagging in any advocacy effort.
To synthesize what you've laid out, the tech stack is microphone array, beamforming plus camera-based license plate, recognition plus machine learning classification, with human review as the enforcement gate. It works well for single-source honking. It can handle multi-source scenarios with some limitations, and the biggest risks are around implementation quality, maintenance, privacy, and legal admissibility. The Patash Tikva pilot is the local proof of concept to watch.
That's a clean summary. I'd add that the cost side is also worth understanding. These systems aren't cheap. You're looking at tens of thousands of dollars per installation, plus ongoing operational costs. A city needs to decide whether noise enforcement is a high enough priority to justify that spend versus other uses of the same money.
Which is ultimately a political question, not a technical one. The technology is viable. The question is whether the political will exists to deploy it properly.
That's where informed advocacy makes a difference. Someone who can walk into a municipal meeting and say, here's how the technology actually works. Here are the questions to ask vendors. Here's what a responsible pilot looks like. That person changes the conversation from, should we do something about noise, to, here's how to do something about noise effectively.
Which is basically what this whole episode has been. A briefing document in podcast form.
I'll take that. Better than being called a walking encyclopedia again.
You say that like it's not accurate.
I didn't say it's inaccurate. I said there are better things to be called.
Should we do the fun fact?
Let's do it. And now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
Of the roughly 70,000 meteorites classified by scientists, only about 110 are confirmed to have originated from the asteroid Vesta based on their unique pyroxene spectral signature, a mineralogical fingerprint first identified in the 1890s, though Cape Verde's volcanic basalts were once erroneously proposed as a match during Renaissance-era meteorite debates.
I did not know Renaissance-era meteorite debates were a thing.
They had a lot of free time before Netflix.
Thanks to Hilbert Flumingtop for that one. This has been My Weird Prompts. If you want more episodes like this, head to myweirdprompts.com. We'll be back with another one soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.